Shalom everyone, and today we're studying Parashat Pekudei. We can find it in the book of Exodus, chapter 38, verse 21. And this is the last parasha in the book of Exodus. So it's a long journey, many weeks, almost the whole winter, at least the whole winter. And Parasha, the whole book of Exodus, Shemot, is about the redemption of an unbelievable story, a nation of slaves emerging out from the midst of the maybe the strongest empire of the time, thousands of years old, strong empire of Egypt, and they're coming out to become free. And the message is still today, when people speak about the idea of let my people go, it's from here, 33 centuries, and we're still in the journey of looking for freedom. And we know that freedom cannot be given. Yes, the Creator gave us freedom, 10 plagues, walking in the desert, the pillar of fire, the pillar of cloud, manna from heaven, water from the stone, the revelation of Mount Sinai. But we know today, so many nations, the last century, achieved or received, handed over freedom. And look at them today. So many nations, or so-called nations, came out of colonialism in the past few decades, and these are failed states. And that's what this parasha is about. The summary, Ele Fekudei HaMishkan. And these are the accountings of the tabernacle. But the word Fekudei in Hebrew is much deeper. The word, the Shoresh, Pei Kuf Dalid, it's a very sophisticated shoresh. It's a very sophisticated word. Pekudei means also accountability, not just accounting. It's about pakid, a civil servant. It's about mefaked, a commander. It's about taking command. All of it. And the story is like, just to make the story short, there's no so much story. But the story is into a very simple issue. Rashi, the greatest commentators of all generations, lived in France 1,000 years ago. And he says in Beparasha Zo, Nimnu Kol Mishkelei Nidvat HaMishkan. In this parasha, all the weights of all what was donated for the tabernacle has been counted. Lakesef, lazav, lanachoshet, the silver, the gold, the copper. Nimnu kol kelav lechol avodato. Everything was brought into accountability. Everything was reported. People gave a huge amount of treasures, gems, precious cloth, fabrics, whatever, art. And everything had to be accounted for. Everything had to be revealed. So why? The person who did it was, we're talking about Bezalel ben Uri and Oholiab ben Ahisamach, but both of them were commanded by Moses. So you don't trust Moses? Moses that went up to the mount for 40 days twice? Moses who was willing to sacrifice his life just to save his nation? Moses who gave up so much all along his life for others, and you suspect Moses? That's just very simple. Doesn't matter who is, if it's Moses or somebody else, people will be suspicious. People need to see the numbers. The question is, Stalin, the cursed, infamous leader of the Soviet Union, said it doesn't matter who votes, what matters who counts the votes. Same thing, it doesn't matter how much money was taken. What matters is who's counting the money. So maybe we don't suspect Moses, but we suspect the people who count the treasures. Maybe they took and Moses didn't see. There's always a place for suspicion. How would you know? The Zohar talks about it a lot. And as we said, we are in the midst of World War II. And one of the most important thing in this war, it's about suspicion. It's about all of these theories that people believe in, that they're being cheated. And you know what? Sometimes you believe in the conspiration theory, and when things are being revealed, it's even worse than you suspected. So how would you know? And as the days are passing by, you have less and less trust in authorities, companies, people with power. It says, what's the worst thing in the world you can do is eved ki imloch, when the slave comes to with to a kingdom. It says, or in simple words, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. If somebody has a slave mentality, we all do this way or another because we're here in a physical body. We are here enslaved to our five senses, to our logic, to our needs, our desires, and graves, and all of those issues that make us human. So whoever can say, I'm free of that, I'm an angel, I'm trustworthy, I will never, ever have any problem with anybody. I'll always be honest. That person is lying already. So let us try to understand in this huge war, the last war of humanity, the war for sanity, the war for real freedom, for real equality, for real rule of law, and honesty, integrity, which means basically decent life. We all have to fight for it. We won't get it for free. It's not going to be handed over to no one. Same way that the first steps of democracies, either when we're talking about the American Revolution and later on other revolutions, and if we're talking about the huge wars of the 20th century, people had to fight for it. People had to fight for freedom, to sacrifice for freedom. Freedom is not being granted for free. Freedom has to be taken. And later on, after your freedom, you have to fight for that freedom daily. You have to be aware of it daily. So how do you do that? More than that, who do you trust and how can you trust? And the Zohar is giving us an amazing explanation out of the box. And the Zohar is starting with this amazing description. Verse 3 in the Zohar Sulam. Rabbi Yossi opened. Marav tuvcha shatzafanta lirecha pa'alta lachosim bach. Neged Bnei Adam. It's a very important verse from Psalm 31, and it says, how great is your goodness that you hid for the people who have your awe. You acted that great goodness, lachosim bach, for the ones who are taking refuge with you. Marav tucha, how great is your goodness. כמה היית לו לבני נשה, להסתכלה ולמנדה ברוכוי דקודשה בריחו. והיה בכל יומה ויומה קלה נפיק ואחריז ואמר, הסתמרו בני אלמה, טרוקו גלי חובין, הסתלקו מרישתה דתפיס, עד לי תפסון רגלייכו בהי רשתה. גלגלה שכיר שכרה תדיר, סליק ונחית, ואי לינון דדחיין רגליו, מגו גלגלה, דענף לי לגו עומקה דתמיר, לינון חייבי אלמה. People need to be watchful and to know the ways of God. Every day, a voice is announcing and saying, people of the world, be careful. Shut down the doors of sins and be careful of that net that is hunting people. Before that, your feet are going to be caught into that net. This is the net of evil doings. A wheel is coming in this world always, up and down. The judgment of above is coming up and going down. This judgment elevates people up above. They think they're winning, they think. They made it, and then it brings them down. Woe to those that their feet have been pushed away because of the wheel, because they fall into the depth that is there for the wicked of the world. Woe to those who fall into the depth. They won't be able to shine with a treasured light that is treasured to the righteous and for the world to come. Praiseworthy are the righteous for the world to come. So many hidden treasured lights are preserved for them. How many different kinds of Eden, pleasure, are waiting for them, treasured for them. As it says, how great is your goodness that you treasure for the people that are in your awe. So what do we learn? This is what is called Or Haganuz. The legend says, you know, Genesis chapter 1, and God said, let there be light. But that was on the first day. And the light of the sun and the moon and the stars were created only on the fourth day. What happened to the first original light? As it says, and God saw there going to be wicked people. He treasured that original light only for the righteous. So only the righteous will be able to earn that light. I'll skip to verse 8. כתוב כאן, אלה פקודי המשכן. It says, these are the accounts of the משכן, the tabernacle. And over there it says, אלה, תולדות השמי וארץ, Genesis chapter 2, just the first verse. It is here to teach their actions, they equal to each other. Whatever was created in the heaven and the earth, somehow reflected in the creation of the tabernacle. So all the actions of the tabernacle came out with the force of that treasured hidden light, or Haganuz. מאין לנו? How do we know? כי כתוב וצלאל בן אורי בן חור למטה יהודה. זהו מצד ימין. One of the artisans of the temple was בצלאל בן אורי בן חור from the tribe of Judah. He was from the right side, Abraham, the treasured light. With him was Oholiab, the other artisan. He was from the left side. And the Mishkan, Malchut, was inclusive of right and left. And Moses was in between them. He was the central column. He established finally the Mishkan, as we're going to read in the next parasha, parashat Vayikra. So, and then the Zohar is explaining how the creation of the Mishkan, the tabernacle, or the portable temple the Israelites carried in the desert, they use it till King Solomon built the Solomon Temple. That was 480 years that the tabernacle has been in use. However, the Zohar says this is a magical idea. The idea is that, and I'm reading verse 9. Shamashava, shisot chokhma, when the thought, the divine thought, which is sfirat chokhma, which is also called Abba ve'ima ilain, the supernal father and mother, when that great wisdom ascended to be corrected, alta litaken b'rtzon achedva, with the will of happiness, minister kol anistarim, from the one who is the hidden out of all hidden ones, the infinite, shelo noda v'eino musag, that cannot be known and cannot be perceived, which is atik. Atik is, you know, it's this word exists in English, antique, but in Hebrew the nun falls. Atik means something that is in Hebrew that is the primordial to all ancients. It is what has been like copied or transferred down from the infinite into the reality of this world. This is like the first drop of light that crystallized into a physical reality of our nature. It's called Atik. It is the seed of all the creation. It is concentrated bliss and infinite light. That great light that is coming down, condensing into what physical reality is about, in the different levels, the evolution of the creation. So this great joy and bliss came down the levels. And the tabernacle is basically the physical manifestation to capture that bliss coming down to earth and funneling it into our physical reality. However, when it comes to our topic, I'll try to simplify. And the Zohar says few statements. The Zohar is explaining to us that when that light came down, and even when the tabernacle, the Mishkan, was built with all the devotion, the volunteering, the love, the appreciation of all the Israelites. Verse 20. When the work of the tabernacle has been done, the dark side was walking around trying to find a place that he could hold on to. He could not find anything wrong with the faith and the devotion of the artisans. עד שהקדוש ברוך הוא הכניע אותו לפני משה till God totally made him subjected in front of Moses. How? He forced the dark side to participate in the accounting, to count all the gold, the silver, the copper, the gems, and every precious work that was done. And this is the secret where it says, Ele Pekudei HaMishkan. But the question is, how could that be? And the question is very, very serious. Whoever was engaged lately, all over the world, in disputes about what's right and what's wrong, what is right politically? What is wrong? What is just? What is not just? And you realize there's no place for truth anymore, because for a lot of people, it doesn't matter how many facts you're going to present them. They won't be able to see the facts. They don't even want any kind of discussion. There's no place for an argument. There's no place for debate. There are only slogans being repeated again and again. It's only very deep emotions, mostly of anger, hatred, fear. Where is this coming from? And the Zohar is explaining where the light of the eternal, Atik, came down. There was a stage in the evolutionary process that it split into two different phases, two parallel realities. One reality is the reality of what we call Ma'arechet HaTum'ah, the impure system. The impure system is based on the original creation, the desire to receive. I want. Yes, it is very legitimate. We humans, we were created by the Almighty as vessels for His bliss, and therefore we have embedded inside us, and that's our nature, to want God's bliss and God's joy. However, there's a problem. As long as it is just I want because I want, I need and I desire just because I want, which is basically egotism, individualism, that is called the impure system. Why? It creates only judgment. It is about the instant gratification. It's the high that follows by buy. It's the short fulfillment that follows by the deep depression of the morning after. On the other side, so there is a free will. We have the pure system, Kedusha. And the Kedusha is based on, yes, I desire, I want. God created me as a creature of desire. However, If I want to be happy, I have to make somebody else happy. And that means service. That means devotion. That means loving others. That means caring. That means being there for others, willing to put somebody else's needs in front of my needs, not giving it up, but considering the other first. What is being created over here is a different system totally. This is a system that, as we read before, is ruled by Abraham's grace. This is the greatest secret of the Torah. Yes, we're here to desire. We're here to get satisfied. We're here to be happy. That cannot be created unless we are totally devout, willingly, knowingly, consciously, that the only vessel, true vessel, but it is an invisible vessel that can contain true lasting happiness is a devotion of serving others. So when you take position, pakid, and you have the position, tafkid, and you have the command, pikud, you know that first of all, you're here to serve selflessly. And when you create that selfless servitude, you generate an eternal vessel that is the only vessel in this universe that can contain lasting fulfillment. What a paradox. The more you want for yourself alone, the greater the fulfillment. But it will be very temporary. It will be high and by, a flash and a crash, an achievement that follows with a disaster, like the wheel the Zohar told us before. Up you're there again, up above the wheel, but it's the same wheel that will take you down to the deepest ravine. You want to avoid that wheel? Be there at service. Be there for others. And this is the basic idea of the Torah morals, ethics, values. Love others as you love yourself. Not because it's nice. Because it's the most existentialist declaration ever. You want to live, you want to survive, you want to exist, you want a real fulfillment. You don't want to be on that wheel of fortune, up and down. Be there for others with devotion, excitement, authenticity. You'll be there for others. You generate that grace that looks like I'm there for others. What's in it for me? And then you realize it gives you an eternal, lasting fulfillment. So, research is showing that that part of society that is totally engulfed with individualism. If I feel that I want, it must be right. If I enjoy it on that spot, must be right. Who cares about the price? But this kind of thinking, the last decades are showing scientifically, brings to depression, misery, ongoing depression. When we commit to serve others, When you commit to a greater idea than life, the values of God, we create a different logic. We listen differently. We see, we can connect the dots, and then we can believe, we can trust. And the other part of humanity who chooses the left, just me, they cannot connect the dots. As the Zohar says in the beginning, with the starting of all the plagues, Moses was afraid of one thing. All the Israelites, if they're not connected to grace, they will think it's another witchcraft issue. It's another sorcerer's competition. They won't be able to see the miracles of God. You need to have grace. You need to have devotion. You need to be committed to love others as oneself alone. You don't, you won't be able to see the truth. You'll fall into the ravine of deception and lies. Humanity is separating itself to both sides. It's the biggest war of them all. This is World War III. This is Armageddon. It's a state of war of consciousness. Can we see God's miracles? Can we see God's intervention? Or is it all politics? Is it all interest? And very dire human needs. This is very exciting and fulfilling and full of happiness and faith. And this is misery and more pain and more pain. No trust, and there's no discussion. There's no way to come to terms. How would that war finish? We just have to read. To read the book of Isaiah, the book of Jeremiah, Ezekiel, the Zohar. We just need to stick to faith in what is good, devotion, unconditional giving to others, realizing that's the only way can save us and allow us to see. Basically, the miracles happening in front of our eyes to connect the dots and to see that one will live in one of the most marvelous eras in the history of humanity. Thank you so much. Good luck for all of us.